from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. We are live and local once again here on 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. You can always take the show with you on the road. I use the Odyssey app to rewind to hear the Sports Junkies Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. You can always use the Odyssey app to check me out Monday through Friday by searching 910 The Fan in Richmond, Virginia. We'll talk a little Washington Nationals today. Bobby Blanco will join us at 10 a.m. to preview the second half of their season. Training camp begins next week for the Commanders. And next Friday is also the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. I'm wondering, which sports are you most fired up for? I'll tell you, I think we're all going to be waking up early because of the 6-hour time difference to see Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, and Noah Lyles. But Team USA basketball is the number one thing I have my eyes on for the Olympics, and I'll tell you why. I think they will struggle, but will win gold in the Olympics for basketball. Training camps are fully underway for the entire NFL next week, and I'll tell you which coach around the league I believe is under the most pressure to succeed this season, and which player is under the most pressure to succeed this season when we go around the NFL with NFL hits. But first, I wanted to start the show with the hottest sports topic on my mind this week. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You could always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. And for me, the biggest story in my sports world is the Washington Wizards Summer League and the negativity that I have seen online. And I, for one, Adam Epstein, am choosing positivity for a Wizards team that I love and care about that doesn't have many positives. The Washington Wizards, for the first time since 2010, made a selection in the top 2 of the NBA draft. Alexander Sarr out of France went number 2 overall in a draft class that was pegged to be one of the worst in the last 10 years. Well, he had a summer league game in which he went 0-15. A lot of people started freaking out. I had drab t-shirt from the Junkies call me yelling, "They drafted the wrong guy! These idiots! They drafted the wrong guy!" That might be true, but it also does not fit their timeline, in my mind, to have the rookie of the year from this draft class. They need Alexander Sarr to develop and get good in under 3 years, right? That's why I talked about, I think the plan for Sarr would be like Giannis, where he gets good year 3. Not right away. We knew when they drafted him, it was for defense, and that the offensive game needed work. And I'm not freaking out because we've seen that the offensive game needs work. I don't think his offensive game is broken by any means. It's just summer league. I think he definitely can shoot. He's got a good stroke. He's a decent dribbler. He's shown his weaknesses, yes. He needs to beef up, gain more confidence. But these are weaknesses we all knew about. I'm not surprised about anything I've seen so far. And that's why I want to stick to the positives. Like Alex Sarr is blocking shots. He's moving well around the basket. And Bob Carrington has exploded onto the scene as a guy that could be the point guard of the future. It looks like the Wizards may have gotten a steal with the number 14 overall pick, whether or not they hit on the number 2 overall pick, because that kid is explosive. He's aggressive. He can shoot. But more importantly, he is a leader on the court. And it's going to take a young leader in the locker room to bring everyone together, bought in with this new coach here, the interim from last year, Brian Keefe. And I think if this young crop of players grows together nicely, the Wizards may have something in 3 years. With Bob Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, who will be playing for France in the Paris Olympics this summer. He really developed when you think about how he started last season, how he finished it. So now how he's playing right now for Team France with a ton of confidence on the offensive end and a lockdown defender. Keyshawn George, who I think is playing really decent in summer league. He's showing the ability to hit the outside shot. He's athletic as hell also. Tristan Vucevic and Alexander Sarr. And the Wizards will have another top 10 pick next year too. And that's why I need to remind everyone, all right, that this is not a team that is ready to compete right now. It's going to be 4 or 5 years. Do not give up on Alexander Sarr after just 5 games of summer league. He's not Jan Vesely. We've been burned in the past. That was the previous front office. So let's break down this kid from Maryland, Bob Carrington, who I think shows so much promise in my mind, because what's the toughest thing to do in the NBA? It's get a bucket, right? There's so many great guards. They can set you up. You can get your own shot. If you're wide open, you can knock it down. So many guys create a whole career for themselves because they are knockdown shooters. But this guy can get himself a bucket. He can create his own shot. Reminds me a little bit of Jordan Crawford, who we had here in Washington for a little bit, because he could definitely shoot and score with the defender's hand in his face, pull up off the dribble, get all the way to the bucket. I expect him to even get more athletic over the next 2 years, because I think he should be able to dunk on guards. And I'm not sure he has that flight yet, but remember, this is a kid who had a huge growth spurt, and I'm not sure his body is fully developed in terms of muscles growing since that he made that growth spurt. And so I think his body will build out, and he'll be a monster attacking the basket. But what I personally like about Alex Sarr, what I've seen, is this is a 7-footer who can handle the ball. He spaces the floor. He has size. He is a prospect right now. I hope he can grow out, just like Bob Carrington, get bigger down low. But I'm excited for this coaching staff to get their hands on him, get him in the weight room, and get him to improve offensively, working with some good NBA coaches. Not like where he was at last year in Australia or Real Madrid or Overtime Elite. I need him working with an NBA coaching staff here in Washington, because I think he can improve offensively. He's so raw, but I think there's a lot more to like than dislike, because I see a vision of what he can become. And I think my thoughts have changed slightly since the draft. I don't see Alex Sarr as a Washington Wizards future starting center. I think he could be a future very good power forward, a starting stretch four, who can guard defensively the 2 through the 5, who can take a smaller defender in the post, but can take a bigger defender outside the paint and either use his quickness to get past him or shoot over him. Use his ball handling to get to spots on the court where he feels most comfortable. I see the vision. It's going to be a while, and this kid's going to have amazing work ethic to get there, but I'm not giving up on him, and I'm actually excited because, once again, this is a team that wants to keep their top 10 pick. How do they keep it? By finishing in the bottom 10. So I get why some people are watching Summer League right now, and they're pissed off. Reed Sheppard looks better. He just does. He looks better than the number 1 pick and the number 2 pick. He went number 3. It looks like he's going to come in and dominate right away. I mean, even Tyler Kolek has looked good out of Marquette. Donovan Clingan looks better than Alexander Sarr. Many of the other top 10 picks looked more impactful. But it just doesn't fit his current Wizards timeline. That's why they traded Denny Avdia. That's why they signed Jonas Valanciunas, because they are going to slowly work Alexander Sarr into the rotation. And then hopefully he'll develop over the next few years. But if this team does not finish in the bottom 10, they lose their draft pick. That's how desperate they are to keep their first-round draft pick. It would be a failure on the front office if they have success next season and lose that draft pick, especially with how anticipated this draft class is and how many second-round picks you've racked up. You have to eventually use those to slightly move up next year or the year after that. If you don't, you know, if you don't use them, what are you going to do with a 20-30 second-round pick that's not going to be worth anything by the time we get there? The whole conversations that I've had with NBA insiders that eventually the Wizards will be able to cash in multiple 2s for either another first or to slightly move up their first-round pick to higher in the draft to get a better lottery selection. But I've seen every Wizards game so far, and I get it. There are a lot more negatives than positives, but I'm trying to focus on the positivity because this is not a team that I was ready to watch 82 games and expect them to win half of them. Not even close to that. They're going to lose a lot of games, but we're going to see a lot of young talent, a lot of guys below the age of 22 play impactful minutes for the Wizards this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are live and local here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, just after 9:15 here on July 20th. You can take the show with you on the road with the free Odyssey app. Download it today anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. So we've got Donald running the ones and twos today. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. He'll get you on hold, and you can chime in here on AWOD Radio. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. Donald, have you seen the negativity about Alex Saar on social media after Summer League?
Yeah, I have. I know he had the last game where he struggled, and pretty much after that performance, I saw the negativity pouring in.
Yep, the last game after that, he did go 1-6, so he is now 1-21 in his last few games, but I'm choosing to keep it positive today here on The Fan as we move from the Washington Wizards Summer League to some summer basketball that will be played in Paris, France with Team USA, and I am excited to watch the Avengers. That's what they've dubbed themselves, as they're already on a 3-game winning streak thanks to friendlies, exhibition wins against Canada, Australia, and Serbia. They'll face the South Sudan today, 3 p.m. Eastern time in London, before they go to Paris, France for the Olympics that begin for Team USA July 28th against Serbia. They'll face South Sudan once again in a game that matters on July 31st. And your head coach is Steve Kerr. Of course, this is one of the most talented lineups that Team USA has ever featured. I'm not saying it is as talented as the Dream Team. Believe me, I do not think it is. I don't think we'll ever get to that level again. But I am excited to watch all the most talented players right now for America represent Team USA. And so that's my take right now. It's number one is I understand why they call themselves the Avengers. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's corny or not, in my mind, they are technically avenging the terrible, embarrassing displays by Team USA at the 2019 FIBA World Cup, a 7th-placed finish. Yes, that wasn't our A team or even our B team. And then a 2023 FIBA World Cup losing to Canada in the bronze game and finishing in 4th place, all right? They are not avenging any recent Olympic teams, as Team USA has won gold in the last three Olympics, but it hasn't been as easy as you may think. In the last 10 years, the game has grown so much around the globe. And so, in my mind, they're making up for the embarrassments in the FIBA World Cup, and that's why you had Steph Curry and LeBron James say, hey, let's call each other, let's do this this year. Because also, when you look around the NBA right now, according to NBA rankings, the top four players in the league are not even American. Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And number four right now, according to most reports, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander after his spectacular season with the Oklahoma City Thunder, where they were the best team in the West, the hardest conference in the NBA, and he plays for Canada. Don't sleep on that Canada team with the backcourt of SGA and Jamal Murray. It's going to be a challenge. But the best thing Team USA has going for them is just simply the commitment of the most talented players they've had in a long time. Steph Curry's first Olympics. LeBron and KD back at it again, even though KD's dealing with a calf strain right now. Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday. They added Derek White after Kawhi got hurt. Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo. I mean, the team is loaded. But in my mind, they have two glaring weaknesses that could slow them down. Because the international game, the Olympics, that are going to be played in Paris, France, it's a different style of basketball than what we've seen in the NBA. Defense is heightened. Believe me, they play a lot more defense than what we've seen in the NBA. All right, so here are the two weaknesses that I think Team USA has. I'm still predicting they win gold. I just don't think they're going to go undefeated the entire time. We'll see what happens, if they get tripped up or not. But the two weaknesses I would point to is three-point shooting and defending the paint. Three-point shooting, eh? What the hell are you talking about? They have Steph Curry, the greatest three-point shooter of all time. But Steph's going to be, I think, ball dominant running the offense here with his head coach Steve Kerr calling the plays. And I'm not sure that he's going to get that many open looks with the international scouts knowing exactly who Steph Curry is, and they know you can't leave him open. I think it's going to have to be the wings making open threes. And when you look at the wings, yeah, it's a lot of talent. Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, LeBron, Jason Tatum. All four of those guys that just mentioned have gone cold from the outside during the NBA season and the NBA postseason in the past. They're great shooters. They're clutch players, and they probably hit it with the game on the line. But can they handle this international basketball here where there will be a defender running at you? It's a different three-point line, and you're going to have to knock it down consistently, and that's just not the strength of their game. Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker, LeBron, Jason Tatum are much better going to the basket, but that's where it's going to get clogged up in the Olympics. All right, so I just think three-point shooting has burned Team USA in the past, and I think it could burn them again. I'm not saying they need like a Kyle Korver on the roster. All right, maybe Derek White will end up being that guy. But I just know from how I've seen the Olympics being played in the past, you have to be able to hit threes and hit it at a consistent level. And Team USA has fielded teams in the past that just didn't do that. And that's why they struggled in 2019 and 2023 in the FIBA World Cup. Then I look at the bigs. Great offensively. Great offensively. In my mind, a little soft defensively. And a little soft going for rebounds. And the other thing is, can they stay healthy? All right, so I'm talking about Joel Embiid. Can he stay healthy? It's been a real struggle for him to stay healthy for his entire NBA career. And also, he loves to hang around the outside. He's going to have to battle in the paint with Nikola Jokic, with Rudy Gobert, Victor Wembanyama, and some of the best big men. He's going to have to battle down low and be a dominant force in the paint. All right, then Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was spectacular in the last game against Serbia that they played. But Anthony Davis has an injury history. Anthony Davis is also, in my mind, a little soft inside sometimes defensively. He'll make an incredible play and have a great highlight block, and then he'll just disappear for five or six possessions. And then Bam Adebayo, I'm not the biggest Bam fan. I just think that he's a little bit skinny in the post against some of these big forwards here like Nikola Jokic. Is he going to be able to handle that test? And then offensively, can he still bang with those guys? The games begin in 8 days, but my two weaknesses for Team USA is three-point shooting and the big men defenders. Games in 8 days, I think they finish with gold, but it won't be easy. And I would not bet against Canada, France, Germany, or Spain. Those are four teams that I think are really going to compete here for the medal. I would throw Australia in there as well. But Team Canada, Team France, definitely the two teams that I am most worried about. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, you do not have this happen very often where legit the best of the best right now in the NBA are representing Team USA with a common goal of bringing that gold home here and trying to avenge the FIBA World Cup loss in 2019 and 2023. They're calling themselves the Avengers. We haven't seen an Avengers movie in the last few years. Maybe that's why the MCU has fallen off. I'm looking forward to watching the Avengers this summer represent Team USA at the Paris Olympics. We've also got three big names to watch out for, and that is Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, and Noah Lyles. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. I want to take your calls throughout the show today, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. So we mentioned it. We're going to talk a little Commanders, but first I want to go around the National Football League with training camps already begun for a few teams like the Houston Texans. And I think I've been sleeping on the Texans. I thought that C.J. Stroud was going to have a sophomore slump this year. When I did my initial predictions when we started this offseason, I went with the Jaguars. But I'm starting to really believe in Houston after hearing C.J. Stroud talk about how exciting it's been working with Stephon Diggs already. They added Joe Mixon. They like their wide receivers from last season. But the first question we're going to ask you is, we'll go around the NFL, which head coach is under the most pressure to succeed right away? 1-800-636-1067. We'll go around the NFL next on AWOD Radio. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. We'll talk a little Washington Nationals with Bobby Blanco. He covers the Nats for Masson Sports. He'll join us at 10 a.m. We've got Donald running the ones and twos today. Donald, I downloaded, bought EA College Football 25, and I will be playing as a middle linebacker my freshman season in the SEC for the Texas Longhorns.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Nice.
Have you purchased the game yet?
I have not. I'm slacking. I got to get on that. But yeah. I don't know what I'm going to go for, what school or anything like that. But okay, I like that. SEC talent. I see you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The funny thing is that I hate NIL in the transfer portal. It drives me crazy, especially for college basketball. It's ruining my love for college basketball. But, like, I got the game. I'm about to start with Texas. I already know I'm transferring every year. Like, I want to play 1 year at Virginia Tech. I think I want to play 1 year at USC. Like, I'm going to do what I hate what college players are doing right now, which is one, and then I'll move on, and I'll take whatever money I get, whatever the biggest offer is, or whatever school is giving me the biggest opportunity. We'll talk a little college football later in the show today, because next week I'm headed to Charlotte, North Carolina, for a full week of ACC coverage live from the 2024 ACC kickoff. Three new schools in the ACC. Will be really interesting to have conversations with the head coach of Stanford, Cal, and SMU. And, of course, there's a lot of expectations for Coach Brent Pry and the Hokies in year three. But right now we wanted to open up the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Which NFL coaches do you think are under the most pressure this season with training camp fully underway next week? It's time to go around the NFL with NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the upcoming NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
All right, which coach do you think is under the most pressure to succeed this season? 1-800-636-1067. I don't really have my list here in order, but I will tell you, I do think number one by far is Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton talks so much smack about the way Nathaniel Hackett ran that team there in Denver, and then he took over and did not do any better. And now he's shipped off Russell Wilson, and he's all in on Bo Nix. And my producer and I have a running bit in Richmond where we believe Sean Payton will be the first head coach fired this season. I don't see how it's going to work out there in Denver. I don't think the team is talented enough. I think that he gets a lot of credit that maybe Drew Brees should have gotten, or Darren Sproles, or the defensive side of the ball in New Orleans for how they won that Super Bowl. Oh, Sean Payton made all the headlines because he called the onside kick at halftime. Yeah, but Drew Brees and defense is the reason they won that Super Bowl. I just have never been a Sean Payton fan. Maybe I'm just a hater and he'll prove me wrong this season, but in my mind, he's the number one coach under the most pressure to succeed. I do not have the Broncos winning very many games. I think there's pressure on both Harbaughs to succeed right away this season, all right? So, like, in Baltimore, there's no excuses. You were awesome last year. Lamar's an MVP. You add Derrick Henry. The defense is solid. For the Ravens, tell me what you think, Donald, but it feels like to me AFC title game or bust this year for the Ravens. I mean, right? Like, this is a Baltimore team that needs to get to the promised land. It has to happen right now. So I do think there's pressure on one Harbaugh brother. And then I look at the other one in L.A. Yeah, there are excuses there because it's year one. But they have a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert, who I really like. So I wouldn't be surprised if both Harbaughs were in the postseason. And maybe even Harbaugh won a postseason game with the Chargers. Now, another coach under a lot of pressure this season to succeed is Mike Tomlin. And I don't think that's fair because his team has never finished below 500. And he's always in and around the playoff hunt, if not in the postseason. Now, here's why Mike Tomlin's under a lot of pressure. Because Steelers fans expect greatness, all right? We're here in Washington where the last Super Bowl ring was 1992. And I was born in 1992. I've never seen that. Everybody in Pittsburgh has seen success. They call it Sixburg when you go visit Pittsburgh because they have six Super Bowl rings. And so they need to make the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game. It's been so long. People sleep on the fact that the Steelers' last playoff victory came in 2016. This is an owner. This is a team president. This is a fan base that is feeling a growing sense of urgency to end the playoff drought this season with either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. So definitely under a lot of pressure. I think you could point to two coaches in the NFC East, if not three. Number one, I think it's Nick Sirianni. It just feels like Philly is a team and a fan base that could turn on their coach quickly. Heck, look at the head coach in Jacksonville. Right? He won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Doug Peterson. And then they blew him out. Now he's having success in Jacksonville. Nick Sirianni got to a Super Bowl. Looked like they were going to blow him out next year or last year. Oh, but then they blamed the coordinators. So he brought in two more. Is that going to really make a difference? Now, I have the Eagles winning the division just because I think Cowboys take a step back and they're probably the most talented team in terms of quarterback and two good wide receivers. Oh, and they add Saquon Barkley. But all that has to do with why there's a lot of pressure on Nick Sirianni this season. Brian Daboll of the Giants, after watching Hard Knocks, I could see him losing his job this season. Even though it feels like the GM should lose his job, I could see Brian Daboll losing his job. New York's such a big market. Maybe Bill Belichick comes to town, or maybe he comes to Dallas and replaces Mike McCarthy when Jerry Jones decides he's done with him. Matt Eberflus has a lot of pressure on him with the Chicago Bears. And that's because everybody around the NFL knew they almost fired him last season. I think if Ron Rivera wins on Thursday night, instead of losing 40-20, then in fact probably ended up getting him fired at the end of the season because he came out and said he didn't even know what to say at halftime. He had zero inspirational words for the team, and Matt Eberflus did. But they almost fired Eberflus last year. Now you add higher expectations with number one overall draft pick Caleb Williams for a team that won seven games and a new wide receiver. I think there's pressure on Eberflus to win nine games and compete for a playoff spot near one with quarterback Caleb Williams. A lot of pressure on Dennis Allen. I'm seeing him on several lists as the number one or two coach on the hot seat right now in New Orleans. So that's my list of most coaches under the most pressure here this season. I just think if I put it in order, I would put Sean Payton number one. I'd probably put Nick Sirianni number two in Philadelphia because that fan base is just wild. And then number three, probably Matt Eberflus with Mike Tomlin number four. Honorable mention, and I think this guy is a terrific coach with a team that is always, always in the mix, but eventually they're going to have to move on from him if they never get it done. And that's Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. Like, doesn't it feel like their window of opportunity in the AFC is closing? They just lost Stephon Diggs. Joe Burrow's going to be healthy. I think the Bengals have a better record than the Bills this year. The Ravens, right? Patrick Mahomes is still sitting there waiting for him. Now Miami's in the mix. It kind of feels like the Bills went from knocking on the door so close, 13 seconds away from a conference championship game, to maybe fourth or fifth best odds in the AFC. Does Sean McDermott hold on to his job if the Bills struggle at all this season? Or maybe he loses his job if they fail to win a playoff game? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on, Aaron? Yeah, I think you got to go up north to the city of brotherly love to find the coaches in most despair of losing his job. I mean, obviously, for all the points you made, you know, they fired a head coach who won the Super Bowl. But, you know, I think the GM, I can't remember his name, you know, he knows what he's doing. He went from Andy Reid to the other guy who won the Super Bowl to Sirianni.
Yeah.
So I think he has confidence in himself that, you know, this is.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. We'll talk a little Washington Nationals with Bobby Blanco. He covers the Nats for Mass and Sports. He'll join us at 10 a.m. We've got Donald running the ones and twos today. Donald, I downloaded, bought EA College Football 25, and I will be playing as a middle linebacker my freshman season in the SEC for the Texas Longhorns.
Okay, nice, nice.
Have you purchased the game yet?
I have not. I'm slacking. I got to get on that. But, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to go for, what school or anything like that. But, okay, I like that. SEC talent. I see you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The funny thing is that I hate NIL in the transfer portal. It drives me crazy, especially for college basketball. It's ruining my love for college basketball. But, like, I got the game. I'm about to start with Texas. I already know I'm transferring every year. Like, I want to play 1 year at Virginia Tech. I think I want to play 1 year at USC. Like, I'm going to do what I hate what college players are doing right now, which is one, and then I'll move on, and I'll take whatever money I get, whatever the biggest offer is, or whatever school is giving me the biggest opportunity. We'll talk a little college football later in the show today, because next week I'm headed to Charlotte, North Carolina, for a full week of ACC coverage live from the 2024 ACC kickoff. Three new schools in the ACC will be really interesting to have conversations with the head coach of Stanford, Cal, and SMU. And, of course, there's a lot of expectations for Coach Brent Pry and the Hokies in year three. But right now we wanted to open up the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. Which NFL coaches do you think are under the most pressure this season with training camp fully underway next week. It's time to go around the NFL with NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
Every off-season rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the upcoming NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
All right, which coach do you think is under the most pressure to succeed this season? 1-800-636-1067. I don't really have my list here in order, but I will tell you, I do think number one by far is Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton talked so much smack about the way Nathaniel Hackett ran that team there in Denver, and then he took over and did not do any better. And now he's shipped off Russell Wilson, and he's all in on Bo Nix. And my producer and I have a running bit in Richmond where we believe Sean Payton will be the first head coach fired this season. I don't see how it's going to work out there in Denver. I don't think the team is talented enough. I think that he gets a lot of credit that maybe Drew Brees should have gotten, or Darren Sproles, or the defensive side of the ball in New Orleans for how they won that Super Bowl. Oh, Sean Payton made all the headlines because he called the onside kick at halftime. Yeah, but Drew Brees and defense is the reason they won that Super Bowl. I just have never been a Sean Payton fan. Maybe I'm just a hater, and he'll prove me wrong this season, but in my mind, he's the number one coach under the most pressure to succeed. I do not have the Broncos winning very many games. I think there's pressure on both Harbaughs to succeed right away this season, all right? So, like, in Baltimore, there's no excuses. You were awesome last year. Lamar's an MVP. You add Derrick Henry. The defense is solid. For the Ravens, tell me what you think, Donald, but it feels like to me AFC title game or bust this year for the Ravens. I mean, right? Like, this is a Baltimore team that needs to get to the promised land. It has to happen right now. So I do think there's pressure on one Harbaugh brother, and then I look at the other one in L.A. Yeah, their excuse is there because it's year one, but they have a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert, who I really like, so I wouldn't be surprised if both Harbaughs were in the postseason, and maybe even Harbaugh won a postseason game with the Chargers. Now, another coach under a lot of pressure this season to succeed is Mike Tomlin. And I don't think that's fair, because his team has never finished below 500. And he's always in and around the playoff hunt, if not in the postseason. Now, here's why Mike Tomlin's under a lot of pressure. Because Steelers fans expect greatness, all right? We're here in Washington, where the last Super Bowl ring was 1992. And I was born in 1992. I've never seen that. Everybody in Pittsburgh has seen success. They call it Sixburg when you go visit Pittsburgh, because they have six Super Bowl rings. And so they need to make the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game. It's been so long. People sleep on the fact that the Steelers' last playoff victory came in 2016. This is an owner. This is a team president. This is a fan base that is feeling a growing sense of urgency to end the playoff drought this season with either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. So definitely under a lot of pressure. I think you can point to two coaches in the NFC East, if not three. Number one, I think it's Nick Sirianni. It just feels like Philly is a team and a fan base that could turn on their coach quickly. Heck, look at the head coach in Jacksonville. Right? He won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Doug Peterson. And then they blew him out. Now he's having success in Jacksonville. Nick Sirianni got to a Super Bowl. Looked like they were going to blow him out next year or last year. Oh, but then they blamed the coordinators, so he brought in two more. Is that going to really make a difference? Now, I have the Eagles winning the division just because I think Cowboys take a step back, and they're probably the most talented team in terms of quarterback and two good wide receivers. Oh, and they add Saquon Barkley. But all that has to do with why there's a lot of pressure on Nick Sirianni this season. Brian Daboll of the Giants, after watching Hard Knocks, I could see him losing his job this season. Even though it feels like the GM should lose his job, I could see Brian Daboll losing his job. New York's such a big market. Maybe Bill Belichick comes to town, or maybe he comes to Dallas and replaces Mike McCarthy when Jerry Jones decides he's done with him. Matt Eberflus has a lot of pressure on him with the Chicago Bears. And that's because everybody around the NFL knew they almost fired him last season. I think if Ron Rivera wins on Thursday night, instead of losing 40-20, then in fact probably ended up getting him fired at the end of the season because he came out and said he didn't even know what to say at halftime. He had zero inspirational words for the team, and Matt Eberflus did. But they almost fired Eberflus last year. Now you add higher expectations with number one overall draft pick Caleb Williams for a team that won 7 games and a new wide receiver. I think there's pressure on Eberflus to win 9 games and compete for a playoff spot near one with quarterback Caleb Williams. A lot of pressure on Dennis Allen. I'm seeing him on several lists as the number one or two coach on the hot seat right now in New Orleans. So that's my list of most coaches under the most pressure here this season. I just think if I put it in order, I would put Sean Payton number one. I'd probably put Nick Sirianni number two in Philadelphia because that fan base is just wild. And then number three, probably Matt Eberflus with Mike Tomlin number four. Honorable mention, and I think this guy is a terrific coach with a team that is always, always in the mix, but eventually they're going to have to move on from him if they never get it done. And that's Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. Like, doesn't it feel like their window of opportunity in the AFC is closing? They just lost Stephon Diggs. Joe Burrow's going to be healthy. I think the Bengals have a better record than the Bills this year. The Ravens, right? Patrick Mahomes is still sitting there waiting for him. Now Miami's in the mix. It kind of feels like the Bills went from knocking on the door so close, 13 seconds away from a conference championship game, to maybe fourth or fifth best odds in the AFC. Does Sean McDermott hold on to his job if the Bills struggle at all this season? Or maybe he loses his job if they fail to win a playoff game. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on, Avon? Yeah, I think you got to go up north to the city of brotherly love to find the coaches in most despair of losing his job. I mean, obviously, for all the points you made, you know, they fired a head coach who won the Super Bowl. But, you know, I think the GM, I can't remember his name, you know, he knows what he's doing. He went from Andy Reid to the guy who won the Super Bowl to Sirianni.
Yeah.
So I think he has confidence in himself that, you know, this doesn't work out. You know, he can find a new coach easily. You know, obviously they got Saquon Barkley. There are no excuses. And I think one thing, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'll always look at how much money and time is left in the contract. You know, so to your point, yeah, maybe they might fire the guy in Denver, but, you know, they paid him so much money. He just got there. You know, perhaps people want to hold on to that as opposed to firing a head coach who has a lot of money left on the contract. Yeah. And I don't believe Sirianni has that. So I would think he would be the first person to go in dramatic fashion in the city of brotherly love.
So, Andre, let me ask you a question, though, because I think you're right. He's under the most pressure in the NFC East. Pressure makes diamonds. Do you have the Eagles winning the division or not?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, they won it twice in a row, and, you know, this is the NFC East. We went, what, 16
well, the Eagles,
years?
The Eagles didn't win it, right? The Cowboys won it.
No, well, no, either which way. I think they're done. I think their time is over, and I think we're back, baby. We're back. Yeah, we're going to go up there, and we're going to, you know, take some names that really I have a lot of confidence in the coaching staff, the defensive coordinator. You know, I just think we got so much raw talent from so many different places throughout the league. We got a defensive coordinator I think could, you know, really get something going. So I do think, you know, the Commanders are going to do a lot. I think we're going to do a lot mainly because of our defense. And, yeah, I'm excited for this season, man.
I am too. We're going to go around the NFL next segment here as we move from coaches under the most pressure to players. But one last thing on Sirianni and the Eagles. It is interesting that this Commanders team that only won 4 games and struggled most of last season, they were closest to beating the Eagles of any team in the NFC East, right? The Giants got us twice, once with Tyrod, once with Tommy DeVito. The Cowboys got us. We went 0-6 in the division. The two closest games we had was against the Philadelphia Eagles when we put up 31 points on them. So maybe we could steal a win over the Eagles this year. And maybe Nick Sirianni does end up losing his job. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Training camp will be fully underway next week around the entire NFL. Which players are under the most pressure to succeed this season. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105 here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. If you're enjoying the show, you can support me during the week in Richmond on the Odyssey app by searching 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Players with the most pressure on them to succeed this NFL season, with training camp getting fully underway next week for the entire league. And I want to start with my honorable mentions, all right? I have fully come up with a list of 10 players with the most pressure on them to succeed this season, all right? We'll go from 10 to 1, but first, some honorable mentions. Like Stephon Diggs, Donald, this is a guy that wanted out of Buffalo. It felt like a good situation there with a good quarterback. He goes to Texans. With the Texans, he needs to ball out for them. There's a lot of expectations that the Texans are going to not take a step back in year two, right? They had a first-year coach, first-year quarterback, made the playoffs, won a playoff game. Now the expectation is to repeat sophomore year. Now you add Stephon Diggs. That's a talented team. And then another honorable mention, Bryce Young. I would pull the plug on him mid-season if the team's like 1-7. I was just never a fan of Bryce Young going number one overall. And it's funny because Bryce Young went number one. We were just talking about the Texans. C.J. Stroud went number two. This year, are we going to see Caleb Williams have the most success, or will be the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, here in Washington? But once again, we're going to go around the NFL here on AWOD Radio with some NFL hits. Donald, do you have any NFL theme music you can cue up for me here as I go through my top 10 players with the most pressure on them to succeed this season? Number 10, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills. Like we are talking about with their coach, I mean, is Josh Allen getting passed over as one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC with Patrick Mahomes being number one? I think most people have Joe Burrow being number two. Is Lamar number three? Is Tua have the possibility to pass over Josh Allen? I mean, I think Tua's team is more talented this season. I think it goes back to my conversation about the window of opportunity for the Buffalo Bills to win a title is closing or may have closed. That's why he's on my list of top 10 players with the most pressure to succeed. Number nine, Deshaun Watson, right? After Flacco. I was wacky for Flacky. After Joe Flacco came in, led the Browns to the playoffs, it feels like this is it. Deshaun's got to prove it right now for the Cleveland Browns. Number eight, you go from one NFC East team to another NFC East team to take, what, $1 million more dollars and destroy a fan base in New York? There's a lot of pressure on Saquon Barkley. Number one, to stay healthy. Number two, to be worth that contract. And number three, for that Eagles team to get back to the postseason and compete for another Super Bowl appearance. Number seven, top 10 players with the most pressure on them to succeed this NFL season. I do think it's Tua Tagovailoa, and this is a NFL-heavy list here. I mean, a quarterback-heavy list here in terms of NFL players with the most pressure on them to succeed. And I think because that's the most, that position has the most pressure on them of any position in all of sports. It's just the hardest job on the planet to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And for Tua this season, there's just no excuses with all the weapons that he has. They made it into the playoffs, and then he was awful against the Chiefs. And he blamed, or at least Dolphins fans blamed, the weather. He wasn't good in the snow. Well, this season you better prove it, Tua, because with the amount of weapons that the Dolphins have, they might be looking for a new quarterback if Tua doesn't have a good season. Number six, I'm going with Daniel Jones. If you've seen Hard Knocks, the Giants believe in him. At least the GM does. They paid him all the money to give him all the opportunities. They're going to throw the ball a ton this year and rely on Daniel Jones. I think they're going to finish last place in the NFC East. That's why he's number six on my list. Number five, it's a running back that made a big move this offseason from one AFC team to an AFC powerhouse. a team that already made a deep run in the postseason, a team that already has an MVP. Now you give them another one, and they're good on the defensive side of the ball. Number five is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has to be very good this year for the Ravens. He signed that big contract. He cannot show any signs that he's over the hill. He's got to still have the energy, the strength to go up the middle over and over and over again, game after game after game. I do think there's a lot of pressure on Derrick Henry because of how good the Ravens were last year without him. And for a lot of the season, without Mark Andrews. Lamar was so good. Now you add a legit weapon in the backfield next to him. I mean, that's going to be the team I feel like everybody uses in Madden. It's a cheat code, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. That's why he's number five on my list. Number four, I'm going back to quarterbacks, and I'm going with quarterback of the Detroit Lions, who has gotten paid, has proved it, that he deserved to get paid. But is he good enough to take Detroit to the promised land? I think there's pressure on Jared Goff to be excellent this season. Not to be decent, not to have this team win nine games. It's a failure, I think, if the Lions don't win double-digit games. That's why there's a lot of pressure in my mind on Jared Goff. I think he will. I think he will do well under the pressure. He's got a lot of talent around him. I really like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number three, it's our former quarterback here in D.C. New landing spot in Atlanta, coming off of an injury. He's not all in for week one, but I think there's going to be pressure on him to make the playoffs this year with the Falcons. So Kirk Cousins, number three on my list. Number two, Dak Prescott. I'm not a Dak fan. I just think, you know, great athleticism, really good scrambling, keeping plays alive. It's the accuracy issue for me. That and the turnovers. You can't have 15, 20 interceptions. You can't struggle to hit an open running back out of the backfield. The Dallas Cowboys were all in this offseason, all in to re-sign an old Ezekiel Elliott. I'm worried about the Cowboys this year. I know there's probably Cowboys fans listening that think this is the year, and Dak's number one quarterback in the entire NFL. In my mind, he's the number two quarterback with the most pressure on him to succeed this season, as number one is the quarterback who played only about 6 minutes last season. And his team is going to have six primetime games this season. And he is in the headlines all the time because of ayahuasca or because of him skipping mandatory practices to go on some crazy retreat that the team didn't know about. You know, he wanted out of Green Bay, ends up here with the Jets. A lot of expectations with the Jets and Coach Robert Saleh. I feel good about the Jets on the defensive side of the ball. They made some big signings with the to help out the offensive line. They've got a good wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. They've got a good running back in Breece Hall. Aaron Rodgers has to be elite this season. With the amount of pressure on him to succeed, to stay healthy, to get this Jets team over the hump in a very tough division, I think the number one player with pressure on them to succeed this season in the National Football League is from the AFC East with the Bills and Dolphins. You know that team; those two teams are going to win 9 or 10 games. Can the Jets actually compete for a playoff spot in the AFC? Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be excellent, and he's going to have to be on the field for 17 weeks. That's my list of top 10 NFL players with the most pressure on them to succeed this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. It's 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. We'll talk a little Washington Nationals with Bobby Blanco from Masson Sports, and then we'll get into the Washington Commanders and expectations for training camp that begins next week here on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105 here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. If you're enjoying the show, you can support me during the week in Richmond on the Odyssey app by searching 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Players with the most pressure on them to succeed this NFL season, with training camp getting fully underway next week for the entire league. And I want to start with my honorable mentions, all right? I have fully come up with a list of 10 players with the most pressure on them to succeed this season, all right? We'll go from 10 to 1, but first, some honorable mentions. Like Stephon Diggs, Donald, this is a guy that wanted out of Buffalo. It's felt like a good situation there with a good quarterback. He goes to Texans. With the Texans, he needs to ball out for them. There's a lot of expectations that the Texans are going to not take a step back in year two, right? They had a first-year coach, first-year quarterback, made the playoffs, won a playoff game. Now the expectation is to repeat sophomore year. Now you add Stephon Diggs. That's a talented team. And then another honorable mention, Bryce Young. I would pull the plug on him mid-season if the team's like 1-7. I was just never a fan of Bryce Young going number one overall. And it's funny because Bryce Young went number one. We were just talking about the Texans. C.J. Stroud went number two. This year, are we going to see Caleb Williams have the most success, or will be the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, here in Washington? But once again, we're going to go around the NFL here on AWOD Radio with some NFL hits. Donald, do you have any NFL theme music you can cue up for me here as I go through my top 10 players with the most pressure on them to succeed this season? Number 10, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills. Like we are talking about with their coach, I mean, is Josh Allen getting passed over as one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC with Patrick Mahomes being number one? I think most people have Joe Burrow being number two. Is Lamar number three? Is Tua have the possibility to pass over Josh Allen? I mean, I think Tua's team is more talented this season. I think it goes back to my conversation about the window of opportunity for the Buffalo Bills to win a title is closing or may have closed. That's why he's on my list of top 10 players with the most pressure to succeed. Number 9, Deshaun Watson, right? After Flacco. I was wacky for Flacky. After Joe Flacco came in, led the Browns to the playoffs, it feels like this is it. Deshaun's got to prove it right now for the Cleveland Browns. Number 8, you go from one NFC East team to another NFC East team to take, what, $1 million more dollars and destroy a fan base in New York? There's a lot of pressure on Saquon Barkley. Number 1, to stay healthy. Number 2, to be worth that contract. And number 3, for that Eagles team to get back to the postseason and compete for another Super Bowl appearance. Number 7, top 10 players with the most pressure on them to succeed this NFL season. I do think it's Tua Tagovailoa, and this is a NFL-heavy list here. I mean, a quarterback-heavy list here in terms of NFL players with the most pressure on them to succeed. And I think because that's the most, that position has the most pressure on them of any position in all of sports. It's just the hardest job on the planet to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And for Tua this season, there's just no excuses with all the weapons that he has. They made it into the playoffs, and then he was awful against the Chiefs. And he blamed, or at least Dolphins fans blamed, the weather. He wasn't good in the snow. Well, this season you better prove it, Tua, because with the amount of weapons that the Dolphins have, they might be looking for a new quarterback if Tua doesn't have a good season. Number 6, I'm going with Daniel Jones. If you've seen Hard Knocks, the Giants believe in him. At least the GM does. They paid him all the money to give him all the opportunities. They're going to throw the ball a ton this year and rely on Daniel Jones. I think they're going to finish last place in the NFC East. That's why he's number 6 on my list. Number 5, it's a running back that made a big move this offseason from one AFC team to an AFC powerhouse, a team that already made a deep run in the postseason, a team that already has an MVP. Now you give them another one, and they're good on the defensive side of the ball. Number 5 is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has to be very good this year for the Ravens. He signed that big contract. He cannot show any signs that he's over the hill. He's got to still have the energy, the strength to go up the middle over and over and over again, game after game after game. I do think there's a lot of pressure on Derrick Henry because of how good the Ravens were last year without him. And for a lot of the season without Mark Andrews. Lamar was so good. Now you add a legit weapon in the backfield next to him. I mean, that's going to be the team I feel like everybody uses in Madden. It's a cheat code, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. That's why he's number five on my list. Number four, going back to quarterbacks, and I'm going with quarterback of the Detroit Lions, who has gotten paid, has proved it, that he deserves to get paid. But is he good enough to take Detroit to the promised land? I think there's pressure on Jared Goff to be excellent this season. Not to be decent, not to have this team win nine games. It's a failure, I think, if the Lions don't win double-digit games. That's why there's a lot of pressure in my mind on Jared Goff. I think he will. I think he will do well under the pressure. He's got a lot of talent around him. I really like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number three, it's our former quarterback here in D.C. New landing spot in Atlanta, coming off of an injury. He's not all in for week one, but I think there's going to be pressure on him to make the playoffs this year with the Falcons. So Kirk Cousins, number three on my list. Number two, Dak Prescott. I'm not a Dak fan. I just think, you know, great athleticism, really good scrambling, keeping plays alive. It's the accuracy issue for me. That and the turnovers. You can't have 15, 20 interceptions. You can't struggle to hit an open running back out of the backfield. The Dallas Cowboys were all in this offseason, all in to re-sign an old Ezekiel Elliott. I'm worried about the Cowboys this year. I know there's probably Cowboys fans listening that think this is the year, and Dak's number one quarterback in the entire NFL. In my mind, he's the number two quarterback with the most pressure on him to succeed this season, as number one is the quarterback who played only about 6 minutes last season, and his team is going to have six primetime games this season. And he is in the headlines all the time because of ayahuasca or because of him skipping mandatory practices to go on some crazy retreat that the team didn't know about. You know, he wanted out of Green Bay, ends up here with the Jets. A lot of expectations with the Jets and Coach Robert Saleh. I feel good about the Jets on the defensive side of the ball. They made some big signings with the to help out the offensive line. They've got a good wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. They've got a good running back in Breece Hall. Aaron Rodgers has to be elite this season with the amount of pressure on him to succeed, to stay healthy, to get this Jets team over the hump in a very tough division. I think the number one player with pressure on them to succeed this season in the National Football League is from the AFC East with the Bills and Dolphins. You know that team; those two teams are going to win 9 or 10 games. Can the Jets actually compete for a playoff spot in the AFC? Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be excellent, and he's going to have to be on the field for 17 weeks. That's my list of top 10 NFL players with the most pressure on them to succeed this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. It's 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. We'll talk a little Washington Nationals with Bobby Blanco from Masson Sports, and then we'll get into the Washington Commanders and expectations for training camp that begins next week here on The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Odyssey app.